Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So there was not too long ago, the big to-do in the Christian world was WWJD, right? What would Jesus do? This acronym, it was on bracelets, it was on pencils, it was on phone cases, it was on bumper stickers. I mean, you name it, WWJD was on it. And it was supposed to remind people to ask, to act like Jesus through a question. But I'm pretty sure that when people were asking themselves, what would Jesus do? When the people who created that, they didn't have today's gospel reading in mind. I'm pretty sure no one thought, what would Jesus do in this situation? Oh, I know, he would tear this whole place apart. And so should I. See, we tend to like our Jesus a little nicer than that, a little friendlier, a little gentler than he is here. So the question is, why does he do it? In our gospel reading, Jesus, he enters the temple and he sees something that he would have seen many times before. He sees people selling cattle and sheep and doves and the money changers, they're converting the currency. And there's actually a really good reason all of this is happening. See, the animals, they're needed to perform ritual sacrifice in the temple. The sacrificial code in the Old Testament was very, very strict. 633 laws, that's part of it. And there's very specific guidelines on what kind of animal, what age of animal, if there's any blemishes on them that could be used in temple sacrifice. And so these people are actually providing a much-needed service for the temple-goers. And since the Jews, they were coming from all over the regions of the known world, money changers were actually needed in the temple to standardize the money. It was seen as blasphemous to use currency with other gods' names and symbols on it. So the money changers were there so that the people could carry out the religious duty. But there's something in our gospel reading this morning that evokes Jesus' sense of propriety of what's supposed to happen and not supposed to happen in worship. See, the temple was no longer about putting oneself before the creator of the universe. It was about getting the right money, about getting the right animal in order to do the sacrifice. See, the focus is shifted for the temple visitors from the presence of God to the marketplace, to economic transaction. And Jesus was reacting because the presence of God was being overlooked and made secondary to the marketplace temple. See, the people, they had forgotten that God promised to reveal God's self in the temple in a very specific and unique way. And so people, they were neglecting this holy ground and exploiting people's religious obligations. We see in Scripture several times where God promises and then follows through with God revealing God's self in specific ways. So there's a $2 word for this. Theophany. Theophany. And a theophany means a visible manifestation of God to humanity. It's a visible manifestation of God to humanity. Theophany. So God promises theophanies in order for people to believe and then live in the world. So after the Exodus, the people had come out of Egypt, And Moses, at this point, he was talking to God up on the mountain, and God was a voice in the clouds on the mountaintop. And Moses, he received a message from God. It said, have the people make me a sanctuary so that I can dwell with them. And so God gave them these instructions to build a tent with gold, silver, and bronze. And this tent, it had fine linen and dyed thread and beautiful yarn. In fact, somebody at the first service, they stopped me, and she said, I'm a seamstress, and I'm a weaver. And she goes, it's no wonder that they were there for 40 years because the instructions would have taken that long to build this thing. This tent, it had special meeting rooms with specific functions for worship. But the place where God would sit was in the room with the Ark of the Covenant. Now, I can explain it to you, but here's a recreation of the Ark. So it's made out of wood in a box and then gold. And inside of the Ark is the Ten Commandments, Moses' staff, and then Aaron's staff. And Aaron was Moses' right-hand man. You might remember this if you watched Indiana Jones. It looks something like this, right? So God was actually said to have sit right where the two wings come together. That's the location where God would reveal God's self in the tabernacle. So it was in this sanctuary, this tabernacle, that God's presence would dwell. But the main item of the presence was the Ark of the Covenant, this box right here. When the Israelites went from place to place, the Ark, it went before them, and they carried it in front of the whole people, and God led their way through the Promised Land with this Ark. In fact, it was such a holy item that nobody was allowed to touch it directly, and in fact, they had to carry it using the poles. And actually, this is the poles were actually made out of wood. Here it's gold, but in the Bible it says that those are wood poles because nobody could touch it. So the manifestation of God on earth was through this Ark. All right, thanks, Jamie. So sometime later, when the Hebrew people, when they settled in Jerusalem, they were eventually told by God to build a temple. And so King Solomon, King David's son, he takes on the task of building the temple. And the place where God would now reveal God's self is no longer mobile. It's in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. The Ark of the Covenant now had a permanent place in a room called the Holy of Holies. Now, this room was so special and holy that they could only go in once a year. Priests could only go in once a year. They had to take a lottery to decide who would go into this room. And then the other priest would tie a rope around that priest, because if he had a heart attack, or if he broke his leg, or he fell and hit his head or something, they couldn't go in there to rescue him. Because there was such a sense of propriety. And so they would drag him out by the rope. God was in that room because God chose to reveal God's self in that way. So God's theophanies, God's revealed presence, took on different shapes throughout history. It varied from being a cloud on the mountaintop. And then it was a tabernacle, that it was in the tabernacle, and then it became permanent and stationary on the Temple Mount. See, the purpose of all these manifestations is so that people could have a relationship with God. They could have a place where they knew God was there in that place. So in our gospel reading today, Jesus starts turning over the marketplace in the temple because they're exploiting the place of relationship. In today's gospel, Jesus gets angry at the market, at what the marketplace has done to the temple, and then he retranslates it all, revealing the newest theophany of God. See, the people, they want a sign to show them that what Jesus is doing is from God, but instead of a sign, Jesus gives them a new interpretation of where God is going to reveal God's self. Jesus tells them that if they destroy the temple, in 3 days he'll raise it up. But Jesus wasn't talking about the building, the one that took 46 years to build. Jesus was actually talking about himself. So the theophany of God is no longer in the temple. It's no longer with the Ark of the Covenant. It's in the body of Jesus. The revealed God now walks through Jerusalem. Jesus comes and heals the sick and forgives sins and teaches everyone how to live in the world. The presence of God in the world, it comes out of the temple, engages people, and then shows that everyone what it's like for God to be active in a new way. The relationship with God that people in the temple market had forgotten about is now loose in the world, roaming around, teaching and healing. See, God's presence, it was revealed uniquely in the tent, in the temple, and now it's in Jesus. But there's more. It doesn't stop there. See, Jesus' body is given to us today so that we can be theophanies of God. Every week here, we say these words in the night in which he was betrayed. Our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and he says, "This is my body." And then he takes the cup and he says, "This is my blood." See, the place that God is revealed in the world is no longer in the temple or in the tabernacle, but in Jesus' body and blood. And then every Sunday, we carry that body and blood into the world. See, here's the wild thing is that communion, when we take in the Eucharist, it actually does something to us. We receive the presence of God in our bodies when we receive communion. God becomes one with us in a very physical way. God unites with us in the body and blood of Christ so that when we leave this place, we go out as God's presence in the world. We are God's theophanies to a broken and sinful world that's in need of love, that's in need of grace, that's in need of forgiveness. We become, through the Eucharist, one with Jesus wherever we go, when we are at work, when we're at school, when we're at lunch with our friends, when we're shopping at the store. We are now manifestations of God in the world. Friends, you are God's great distribution plan of God's presence in the world. I mean, that's a sobering and a staggering responsibility. And here's what I know to be true. Jesus, he wouldn't have done all this, he wouldn't have set it all up this way if he didn't think we could do it. You are exactly the kind of people Jesus wants to be his presence on earth. You're people who support with your time and your money and your sweat, our Friends Feeding Friends ministry here. We hope hundreds of people get into homes every single year. People who are homeless, who are transitioning into their first apartment. Because of you all, we can do that. Almost every day in the office, we are giving away food because you as a community have decided that we are going to care for the hungry in Concord. You invite your friends to come here to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, to be forgiven of their sins, to be reconciled to God. You are people who care for me and for my family, helping us prepare a place to live so that we can be closer to you all to walk with Jesus together. Friends, you are the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. And the act of faith, the act of trusting God with our whole lives, is also trusting in God's way of working in the world, which is through you. So friends, may you go into the world as living theophanies of God. May you be God's presence to the sick, to those in pain, to the dying. May you be voices of healing and peace and wholeness to people who need to hear it. May you be Jesus to those who need it most. Amen.